Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Going to be switching gears here momentarily, but I got to tell you, man, this show, like, wow, goes way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Got a bunch of folks from all over those places and beyond, too, that are texting in, so let me grab a few of those before I run out of time. David from Moulton texted in. Said President Biden, he was the one texting earlier about the, David, I appreciate you, man. He says he was texting in earlier about President Biden saying he doesn't represent the American people, or doesn't work for the American people. He says President Biden said it to a Michigan steel worker. I believe it was in his campaign. He did not work for him. Anyway, I remember that. That was during the campaign. The guy had a hard head on. I remember that. He was there speaking to a bunch of union workers, and they were not all on board, just so you know. I mean, a lot of times the unions do what the union bosses tell them to do, the rank and file. But, man, I'm telling you right now, if you get down to it, most of those folks don't vote union. They go to the polls and vote. They vote conservative, blue-collar America. John from Lexington, South Carolina, says, may the War Eagles with the Iron Bowl win the Iron Bowl for the next 3 years for your blasphemy of not supporting my amazing Huskies. Well, since I'm an Auburn fan, I'm good with that.
And you're not a Gamecock there, John, are you?
That's true. He's in Lexington, South Carolina, rooting for the Huskies.
Hey, I mean, to be fair, I grew up in Columbia, and I'm neither a USC or Clemson fan. I am a Auburn fan.
You are so. Indeed. You are an Auburn grad, ain't you?
Yeah, yeah.
You as an alum. Chris from Madison said, I'm meeting with the government. What? A meeting with the government could create implied coercion that they don't even have to threaten to get involved. I think what he said is his voice texture is off. He's basically what he says, if they are meeting with the government, it's like implied coercion. And I agree. Let's talk about that censorship thing we had a while ago. Thomas from Athens says, when a government coerces companies to do what it wants, that's the definition of fascism, all caps. It's been said that whatever the progressive socialist Democrats accuse conservatives of doing, they are the ones actually doing the dirty deeds. That is true. When they complain, you usually find that they're the ones already doing it. Mark from Madison said, at what point do social media platforms become so ubiquitous that they are de facto public squares and therefore lose their right to censor our content? So there's a thing. There's a thing called Section 230. It was the Decency Act. I've forgotten the name of it now. I got to go back and look. But basically, it was a protection measure that was put in place by agreement, designed really to keep pornography out of the hands of kids on the internet. And as soon as it passed, they began to abuse it and claim that it stood for more than it ever did. And they hide under the protections of Section 230 on a regular basis. John from Highway 20 says, a master's in education, $40,000, $400 a month, not 20 years worth, but takes long enough. He says, by the way, private Christian education making peanuts compared, but we're not in it for the money. It's a mission field. John, my kids having graduated from a Christian school. My wife worked there 15 years. Thank you, brother. You're doing God's work, and I appreciate you. And I get it. The master's in education, yep, it costs something. But you know what? You're better for it, and I appreciate you. Jeff from Indiana texting in while he's his voice text, I'm sure, because he's driving. Says, the only way I see plausible to get rid of illegal aliens that are here from deceit is to expel everyone who's not from Mexico or Canada because they had to cross another country and they should have sought asylum. I agree with that. Asylum, by definition, means you stop at the first country of opportunity. And they didn't. They passed through how many to get here? Some bought plane tickets to fly to other countries to then walk north. Devin from Brownsboro says, I think someone needs to make a pop-up book of the Constitution. It might be easier for Biden to read.
Nice.
Well, you know what? That sounds like a PragerU thing. I like PragerU. They do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, does it even matter? I mean, does it even matter what Biden actually says? Does anybody really believe he's the one really making decisions in the White House? I mean... he's probably got a coloring book and he sits in the corner
eating pudding, ice cream.
That's an ugly thing to say on this Monday afternoon. So,
and by the way, just got a text in from Mike from Athens. with a picture, and there it is. I remember that. It was a scene with a crowd of guys wearing hard hats, and Biden's getting angry with one of them saying, "I don't work for you." Well, yes, you do, sir. All right, we're going to number two. What you got, bud?
I was just going to say that, I mean, the one thing that I would sum up that whole piece with is don't forget the local level. If you really want to, I mean, some of that stuff that you're talking about, the pushback from the state level and guys, you can have all the conversation about Biden or Trump or whoever's, but what's going to make a difference is going to be the guys down the street, our guys in Montgomery, our guys, your mayor, your governor, all of that kind of stuff. That can actually make a difference.
That's a big part of where that 10th Amendment comes in. It's not just because we have rights. It's because we can fight with it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, before we start going down the road of pulling up arms, you better know who your representatives are and who your Board of Education is.
I wrote a piece for API. In fact, we even made before 1819 was a thing, before Right Side was a thing, we had a magazine at API we called the 1819 Magazine. And on the cover was a title that I had come up with, and I wrote a piece about it, and I called it Fortress Alabama. And it was the basis of it was exactly what you just said, that the 10th Amendment guarantees us a sovereign right to put up a firewall against the outside, like create a fort where people feel like, and that, if you go back and like look at the days of the Crusades, you know, in the Middle East, mm-hmm. a lot of those Crusaders, they went over there to help safeguard pilgrims who were going to Jerusalem. And they set up forts, and those forts are places where you can go and feel protected, be defended, and that's what Alabama needs to do, is be a fortress.
Mm.
Yeah, good points. All right, I'm gonna ask a question before we get in. You and I, Butters, have both spent time in uniform. If there were a time, I'm changing gears, by the way. This is a new topic. If there were a time when you just chose not to show up, like didn't put in for a pass, didn't submit for leave, didn't check in with your chain of command, just didn't show up for 5 or 6 days, would there be ramifications?
Yeah. Yeah, I had to deal with a few of those.
Did you, as the legal officer?
Oh, I mean, you know, in the Navy, just something as simple as we call missing movement. You know, when the ship pulls off from the pier and you're not on the ship.
Yeah.
Boy, that's like not good.
I had a kid one time who couldn't come to duty, and I got him on the phone, and he said, "Well, I can't find a ride." And I said, "You know what? When you signed on the dotted line, Uncle Sam didn't ask if you had a car.
Yeah.
You find a ride, or I'm sending the sheriff to give you a ride."
Yeah.
And he showed up.
It's kind of a it's a prerequisite to.
So. How is it then that you and I, being just dudes in uniform, among many other dudes and dudettes in uniform, how is it that we can be called AWOL and be subject to some form of UCMJ action, whether non-judicial or judicial? How is it that we can be subject to penalties, but the Secretary of Defense just recently went AWOL for like 5 or 6 days and no one realized he was in ICU? He didn't say boo about it. Why is that okay, Butters? Why?
How relevant is he if he can do that? I don't know. That's crazy. That is absolutely nuts.
Well, that's what just happened. That is exactly what just happened. We're gonna take a break a tad earlier, but so I can come back and have a full opportunity to start unpacking this. But I'm doing this next dipper. I'm calling it the COOP, 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 the Continuity of Operations Plan. How do you expand on the opportunity for continuity of operations in a Biden administration where people who are really, 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 really important by their very nature can just go missing? How do operations continue at that point? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. I mean, like making common sense like a superpower up in here. So I got number two of the triple dipper here. It's called the COOP, C-O-O-P. It's an acronym. It stands for Continuity of Operations Plan. The COOP. So, okay, so when I was in the Pentagon, you know, we had to be read into the COOP. And it's not, you know, I've got a piece here that I'll pull up in a minute from the Trump administration. It's not, it's no secret there is a COOP, all right? In fact, there better be one at all levels. I mean, government has to continue. There were aspects of our state government when I was in the legislature that I was shocked did not have what I consider to be a valid COOP, especially with regards to our ability to maintain our cyber defenses here in the state. Can you imagine how much information is just on our Medicaid and payroll systems? Medicaid and payroll. You got the vast majority. You get probably, I bet you have a third of the state is in some way completely their data embedded in our Medicaid and or state payroll systems. Teachers, state employees of other kind, general service employees. It doesn't matter whether you're a janitor or the governor. Every position is somewhere in that payroll system. And so all this to say, a continuity of operation plan is going to keep government functioning in the event of a major crisis. It can be a natural disaster. It can be a 9/11. What happens if there's an EMP and it knocks out all, you know, communication systems? Do people know where to go and what to do? And don't you want to know that the people who are going to make the decisions about how to resurrect whatever got hurt and put the systems back online, so to speak, and keep the nation running, don't you want to know that they have a plan? Well, the plan's called the COOP, the Continuity of Operation Plan. And like I said, all levels. In fact, I pulled this piece just to give you an idea. We're not talking just about the Pentagon. We're not talking just about, you know, what's happening, you know, in the White House. Here's a story that came out in May of this past year right here in Huntsville. Huntsville, Alabama, the U.S. Army Engineering and Support Center. I mean, does that sound like something we have to keep the nation running? I don't know, but they were also running their own COOP plan. They ran a COOP exercise back in April of last year to ensure readiness if or when disaster strikes. The COOP exercise tested the center's ability to stay functional when something has gone catastrophically wrong. There's been a natural disaster, a terrorist attack, or something else that has impacted employees to the extent that they cannot come to the workplace. The colonel in charge, the Huntsville Center commander, made the statements. They said during the exercise, most employees worked from home. Members of the emergency relocation group met at an undisclosed alternate site. The COOP covers tasks like how to travel to the alternate site, ensuring communication systems and other resources. All right, blah, blah, blah. What we're saying is this. There are going to be key people who are very, very, very key who we need to make sure that they're in a safe and undisclosed location. So if things go bad, there's a site and they know where to report. And they just get there. And they know what to bring with them when they do. And they know who to fall in on and who to communicate with and who to report to. And once they're on station, they know where their workstation is and they go to work and they do what they can to help rebuild whatever got broken. The COOP is extremely important. And we should not try to make it harder in the course of running the United States. So if you're going to have a COOP plan to ensure that certain key people know where to go at their undisclosed alternate site right here at the U.S. Army Engineering and Support Center in Huntsville, wouldn't you think that the White House, the Pentagon, you know, the major departments, Department of Energy, wouldn't you think that they would, like, go, yeah, and let's make sure this works. Let's make sure that we're in place and everybody knows where you are. Let's make sure that we're not just making it harder for the COOP plan to even work. Like for instance, I pulled this, it's hard to find. The Trump White House Archives, Executive Order, December 7th, 2020. Not long before he left office, he was still putting things in place. And by the way, ain't nothing wrong with this. Those of you out there that are going, yeah, but Trump was trying to do stuff at the very end. Yeah, he was trying to maintain continuity of operations. By the authority vested in me as president of the and by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, including the National Security Act of 1947, I hereby order. And he went on to sign what he called the Federal Mission Resilience Strategy, COOP plan to literally lay out the groundwork. I'm not going to go into the details. It's very weedy. But the bottom line is this. It's a executive order that says, yeah, you know what? It's extremely important that we ensure national security, preserve governmental structure, and do so in a way that, you know, minimizes the impact to the nation by continuing operations. What do you think about?
Oh, I mean, I down to the admiral's staff when I was on an aircraft carrier, you know, that was a regular, that was a big deal. What's the plan? What's the plan? If we got a, you know, the carrier's damaged and we got to move over to another ship and, you know, who are the people that are going to go? Where are they going to plug in? What are the accounts that they're going to use? I mean, all that kind of stuff. Every major command staff I was ever on, that was a big deal. The COOP plan.
And you do things like you have a redundant chain of command to fall back on too. Oh, yeah. If so-and-so's taken out, who takes their place? Yep. And we did that at the lowest level, just as a patrol. On this patrol of 8 men, if I go down, you're in charge. I mean, you just do that. Continuity of operations is huge.
Yep. Who do you work for? Who works for you? And who's going to do your job if you fall out or are not around or are, say, in the hospital?
It's the basics of leadership.
Yep.
So how come our Secretary of Defense went missing for a while?
So I wasn't following this over the last few days. So I'm still trying to catch my breath from this one.
This one just bugs the crap out of me. So and by the way, I don't know what the deal was. All we know is the Secretary of Defense, who is a key position. Keep in mind, this is at a time when we have troops under fire, like well over 130 something attacks on U.S. troops in Syria and Iraq in the last few weeks.
Let's just go with we have arguably one of the most unstable global environments we've ever faced in our lifetime.
My brother, we can go with that. Yes.
So the Secretary of Defense, probably pretty critical right now.
Probably an important guy. Like, I would hope that there's this, like, opportunity to gather up the people that are key in the White House Situation Room and consider our contingencies. What happens if they're not there? And by the way, I'm going to get to the president here in a minute. But we just learned, as of yesterday afternoon, that the Secretary of Defense was missing in action for over 5 days. He apparently went in for, all we know is, it was an elective procedure. I will not speculate. I don't know what it was. I don't know that it was life-threatening. It was elective, is what we're told. Whatever it was, it resulted in him beginning to experience severe pain. And he wound up being put in ICU for 5 days, and we're told that even the White House didn't know he was in ICU. Well, first of all, how does the president of the freaking United States, who is authorizing, you know, rules of engagement for our troops who are under fire in the Red Sea, Syria, Iraq, we got instability in Ukraine, we got instability going on, war in Ukraine, not instability, war in Ukraine, war in Israel, we've got major issues on the world stage. We got, you know, freedom of navigation issues going on in the South China Sea. But the Biden administration didn't know the SecDef was missing for 5 freaking days?
They should have just asked the Chinese when they figured it out. I'm sure they knew.
That's probably a Chinese doc that did the elective procedure. That's awful of me. I don't know what it was for. I don't know. I don't know if he was, you know, having liposuction. I don't know what he was doing. All we know is the SecDef went in for a procedure, and he was gone into, and he went into ICU by his own admission, and he's issued an apology saying, I could have done a better job ensuring the public was appropriately informed. You think? How about inform your boss, the commander-in-chief? My God, that COOP plan, it apparently is not in work. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on Dipper number two, as we're covering down on what I'm calling the COOP, the Continuity of Operations Plan. So the Continuity of Operations Plan, you put it in place when there's a dire circumstance. Something's happened. Transfer of authority is a big part of it. When you transfer authority, you have to know where the authority is and where the transferee is. So something you never want to hear, Butters, something you never want to hear is, hey, does anybody know what the SecDef is? That is not the question you want to hear asked.
No.
Rhetorically or otherwise.
No. That's maybe for a... Oh, I saw him grabbing a cup of coffee.
Yeah, I mean, if he's like, he's down the hall in the bathroom. Okay, he'll be back in five. Okay, he took a break. Okay, he went to lunch. Okay.
Hey, anybody seen the SecDef in the last couple of days?
Yeah. Does anybody know where he is? What?
Why has that chair been empty in all of our meetings every day? It's odd.
How come he hasn't been taking his daily intel briefs? Why? Oh, by the way, why hasn't he gone to the White House every time they've called? Oh, maybe they didn't call.
Yeah, there's so many questions that come with all this. This is crazy.
In view of the world crises that we see right now, this also clearly indicates we have a White House that is disengaged from national security. Wouldn't you?
And to be fair, a lot of it's staff on staff. I mean, I've lived in that world.
Sure.
And I mean, at that level, I've built slides for generals that got pushed on to the Secretary of Defense. So. I get, but yeah, you don't. Somebody at some way goes, hey, anybody know where our boss is? Like, if the general or if my admiral were disappeared, like, we would have, somebody would have been asking questions.
But at the same time, there would have been somebody there saying, I'm sitting in for the boss today. He's on a junket to so and so.
100%.
Absolutely.
100%.
Oh, and by the way, how many times in the last year did we hear Senator Tuberville getting excoriated because he was standing in the way of our national security by not allowing generals to get their second star? Really? And now the SecDef goes missing for 5 days and no one even notices. The heck?
And are we docking his pay for 5 days?
What the actual heck? Oh, that's a great question. I doubt it. Will he? Is he going to face? All right, so let me ask you this. So, former legal officer, what non-judicial punishment would you apply for this AWOL situation? What should he have to do? Do more KP?
Well, he could lose half his pay for 2 months.
At very least.
So, you know, we still do bread and water in the Navy.
How about a GOMAR? In the Army, we call them GOMARs, General Officer Memorandum of Reprimand.
You can go harsher than that.
Get a GOMAR, man. That's a big deal. That's a career ender. Put a GOMAR in the SecDef file. What general's going to write that?
I don't.
Sorry, sir. I have to write this.
I don't think he gets promoted that way, Phil.
Okay. Anyway, several text messages that I will jump on here first. Louie from Birmingham says, do we now have our first female Secretary of Defense? No wonder they wanted Coach Tuberville. Yep. So he may be talking about, he's asking what elective procedure he went through.
Mm.
I do not think that it was a transition surgery, just so you know. I don't think so. Not at all.
And I think, I mean, obviously there's some question with, medical health. I think there's some valid stuff there, but let's not lose perspective of all that's encompassed with the dude disappeared off the face of the planet for 5 days
and nobody knew. Five freaking days.
He could have been playing golf.
And if the Secretary of Defense goes in for a filling at the dentist's office, there's supposed to be somebody there who, because of his level of security, his classification, there's supposed to be somebody there who is, like if the president goes in for surgery, Secret Service has to stand in the OR to make sure that under the anesthesia, he's not saying things he shouldn't be saying. The Secretary of Defense knows stuff, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
He knows where all the shady military operations are taking place.
There are decisions that have got to be made. And, yeah, that's the whole thing is that's just wacky.
So let me add to it for you. You ready? The coup apparently wasn't working very well because the Deputy Defense Secretary, Kathleen Hicks, took over some of his duties but didn't know why. And didn't even know that her boss was in the hospital for several days after taking over, according to a story on NBC News. I'm looking at it right here. NBC News reports deputy learned of defense secretary's hospitalization 2 days after taking over his duties. Not all of his duties, by the way, some of them. She, by the way, was on vacation in Puerto Rico. So you had the grand poobah, the secretary of defense, was in ICU. No one knew it. The deputy SecDef was on vacation kind of out of the country, not OCONUS. So she, I mean, it was not CONUS. She was OCONUS in Puerto Rico.
Everything out of the continental United States for.
Thank you very much. I apologize. Yes, my acronyms began to flood back out of my mouth. But the reality is, the top two people in the Pentagon were out of earshot, basically. And then when she was, you know, brought back from vacation. And, you know, it points out the deputy secretary keeps a complete suite of communications and capable staff with her at all times, regardless of geographic location. I will just go ahead and tell you that anytime you go mobile, you always are more fraught for potential breakdowns, miscommunications, lack of communications, inability to communicate. It's enhanced by mobilization.
Well, so the other thing is, if it was an elective surgery, it was scheduled and planned, so there should have been someone, hey, I'm going to the hospital, assuming everything's good, let's just, for 24 hours, somebody else is going to be the acting SecDef for the day, which means they need to be boots on the ground wherever the SecDef needs to be.
And that's, by the way, that's
we not do on
that
vacation.
We do that at the lowest level.
Yeah.
The commander of a unit does not walk away from the unit without saying, XO, you have it.
You're doing it tomorrow for this show.
Just saying, but the reality is this: you've got a serious situation with the continuity of operations plan is not working well. Elective procedure, something went wrong. He spent 5 days in ICU. His response is: I recognize I could have done a better job ensuring the public was appropriately informed. Just a minute ago, during the break, Butters and I looked up on one of the screens here in the studio, and there it was on Fox, and it was a statement. And I don't know who it was. I think it was a representative saying, someone's head needs to roll for this. Several text messages, and then I'll finish up this whole dipper. Jay from Hartsel says, for some reason, I'm not surprised. Biden doesn't know where he is most of the time. There is that. Jeff from Indiana says, they failed the Secretary of Defense. My texture just messed up. Hang on a second. Let me come back to it. Where'd he go? I just lost. Oh, that's because Jeff was texting while I was reading. Hey, Phil, the Secretary of Defense has been missing for quite some time now, so the fact that no one missed him might tell you the importance of his job, or at least how much he's needed. How about that? He says, maybe Alexander Haig is in charge. And I remember that. Don't worry, I'm in charge here, Alexander Haig. TL from Huntsville says, missing in action is so deeply disturbing in this political and threat environment. Did the media and the White House just announce to our enemies that we would be asleep at the wheel if there was a potential attack? I can't help but think of October 7th in Israel. Well, your point is well taken. So key individuals who would make defense-related decisions in the event of an attack on the United States were not available. Devin from Brownsboro, I don't want to be that guy. But is it possible the reason the secretary is missing for 5 days is due to the fact that he might have received one of those procedures and nobody recognized him, her, they, them, or whatever? No. 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 I do not think so. JT from Lacey Springs. Seems the Secretary of Defense is like the 8th floor employee who's deceased at the end of the hallway and no one notices till the odor drifts their way.
Do you think he took his stapler with him?
And then JT says, Jack Assery. I think you're going to have to play it for that very reason, bro. Just absolutely. David from Lincoln. Had a student loan for a medical degree, $250,000 for that one. Paid it off in a couple years. I don't think so, he says. Steve from Huntsville says, Colonel, it's called gender-affirming care. No, Steve, no, no. Doman from Harvest says, Phil, I don't think the Deputy Secretary of Defense is on a nuclear authorization list without other documentation, so I don't think she could have performed the duties if she needed to when the primary sec def was out of position. I don't know that for a fact.
Yeah, I don't know, and that's there's some key things of what you can and cannot delegate as a commander and all those
kinds of stuff. And I would think the commander in chief, I would think that nuclear use of nuclear weapons is a POTUS position only, wouldn't you think? I don't think the SecDef can authorize the use of nukes.
I don't know. I'm sure there's in the event of you know a lack, you know, if the president's dead or if the SecDef is dead, there's a chain that goes down.
What a great segue to my next article.
Yeah.
So Biden, according to the New York Post, the last day of the year, December 31st, Biden spent 37% of the last year at some getaway spot or another in Delaware. Posh vacation sites like Jackson Hole, Wyoming, Camp David. Now, Camp David, I kind of have to give him a buy on that one. I am pretty sure that Camp David is set up as the other White House. I don't think there's going to be an issue with Camp David. I mean, is it apparent that he isn't like staying in the White House, apparently? But he spent 22 days, including travel time, on official vacation in all of 2023. He spent time in his Delaware beach homes in St. Croix, in Lake Tahoe, in Nantucket. He was also at Camp David for 26 days, not including the 2 days he was prepping and getting ready for his trilateral summit, it says. All in all, the president spent 138 days last year relaxing at some retreat or another, sometimes in places that are not governmental, like St. Croix or, you know, like I said, Nantucket. Well, what does that do to the capabilities of the COOP plan? Well, here's an article from I don't even know who this is from, July of last year. Joe Biden's military aide seen carrying the U.S. nuclear football during a U.K. visit. Just understand this. When you have, and I granted, it's a titanium case wrapped in leather. It's going to be it's a big deal. The nuclear football is by his side at all times. He has to have his codes in his pocket, supposedly. Clinton lost his, but you know. But all that to say, the COOP plan is made far more difficult by this administration. Let's just put it that way. They don't know where the SecDef is for almost a week. The deputy SecDef didn't even realize he was gone. She's on vacation. We got troops in the field being shot at. Naval forces in the Red Sea being shot at. Bad things happening on two major fronts for allies who are at war. The SecDef is missing. The president's on vacation. The deputy SecDef's on vacation. The nuclear football is mobile. All you can do is hope that they've actually got their act together. Meanwhile, Kamala Harris, I don't even know if they know. Are they tracking her too? I have no idea.
Well, I hate to say it, but, you know, military recruitment's down, and you're having trouble getting guys to join the military, and these are their leaders. What?
Bum, bum, bum.
Just saying.
Let's take it to a break, brother. That was the COOP. We're going to dipper number three, EV, go home. Why not? Let's talk about electric vehicles. Let's just have some fun. EV, go home. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.